Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
When you hear this specific thing, and again, one of the reasons I grabbed this, because I'm sure some people are going to be like,
you're cherry picking.
Well, you're just, why does that number matter?
Numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers.
Right, but some of them are more indicative than others, in my opinion. When I look at a number like this, and I see that the Eagles are number one, and the Lions are number three, and the Ravens are number four.
Good teams.
That's sitting there telling me that that's, right, even though the Ravens suffer from a little bit of this too, lost a lot of close games, they've coughed some away. I'm thinking of that Raider game earlier this year, stuff like that. But Lamar Jackson, for good portions of this year, we've looked at him and gone, dude, that's the best player in the NFL right now. And I still believe that, even though he's not going to win the MVP because they haven't won enough football games. They might not even probably won't win their division because of the way the Steelers are playing. But I think the Ravens are a better team than the Steelers. The Ravens, there's another one, by the way. The Ravens have a kicker who's gone mental. He's a great, great player, great kicker, but he's gone mental, or maybe it's physical. He's getting older, but he's not making kicks anymore, and it's costing them games. However, they remain here on this list because I believe when they line up with the opponent, more often than not, they're better. They're better than the other opponent. Play by play, they have the answer for the opponent more often than the opponent does. And I believe the 49ers are one of those teams as well, but they're suffering from it more than anybody in the league this year. So I think there's room for both answers. What we're saying, basically, Niners are number three in the league in yard differential,
right,
outgaining their opponents. When you hear that, does it make you hopeful for what's left or angry in terms of where we've been? I think there's room to say both.
For sure.
There's absolutely room to say both.
Well, if you look at all their games, and I'm just looking at the game log right now, they've been outgained in games 5 times, and they're 0-5 in those games.
Yep.
Minnesota outgained them by 7 yards.
Minnesota
That's a
outplayed
loss.
Them. Absolutely outplayed
right.
them. And the Chiefs outplayed them.
The Chiefs outgained them by 19 yards.
Yep.
So your differential is interesting because even in a game like that where they got outplayed, they only got outgained by 19 yards. Seattle actually outgained them by 12 yards
okay.
when they beat them. Green Bay outgained them by 84 yards. Buffalo outgained them by 143 yards.
Jeez.
Those are the games that they lost. And then you look at the Bears, they outgained Chicago by 290 yards.
Yeah.
So your number, which is about 900 and something.
It's over 1,000. Over 1,000.
Of total yards.
Yeah.
A lot of that came against Chicago. 290-yard yard differential
right, but,
to the good.
But 700 plus in the other games too, and those,
right.
those include the losses where you just said they've been outgained. So
but a lot of those were narrow. Like Minnesota, 7 yards, you got
right.
outgained. In Kansas City, you got outgained by 19 yards.
I mean, the Minnesota game's a close football game.
Right.
It's a one-score
Kansas
game.
Kansas City wasn't really that close.
It didn't feel as close.
Outgained by 19
well,
yards.
Kansas City doesn't gain a lot of yards.
That's Seattle was a close game. You got outgained by 12
but
yards.
But example, go back to the Rams game. What was that, week two, week three?
Week three.
Week three. All right, go back to that Rams game. What you have it in front of you?
Yep.
What is it?
You outgained him by 129 yards.
Good freaking Lord.
Yeah.
That is not a losing game. It just can't be a losing game.
Yep.
But it was.
You outgained the Jets by 135 in the opener.
There you go.
That's a win. You outgained the Patriots by 215
yep.
in week four.
Easy win.
That was a laugher. Even when you boat race Seattle, you outgained them by 125
okay.
in week six. So in their wins, a lot of them were just padded by big yardage totals.
How about Tampa? What was that one?
Tampa was 198.
Look at that.
Yep.
And you needed a game-winning field goal, a foot inside the right upright.
Well, because your kicker missed three.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, so your yardage numbers are great, and I do think they're indicative of an overall picture of a team that's really good. But when you start to drill down on why they're 6-7, special teams is a huge part of it.
Sure.
And red zone, both ends. Your red zone offense stinks, And your red zone defense has been embarrassing.
This is why I think that this is a point today. And again, I'm not trying to ride a fence. I just think that there's room for both answers. And it's a matter of what you want to focus on right now as an individual. But there's no two ways about it in my mind. The 49ers are 6-7. They shouldn't be. The reasons that they're not are, I would argue, more their fault than not. Like, there are some healthy, not your fault reasons. You know, the things that Charvarius and Trent have gone through, the injuries, the timing of those injuries, the seriousness of those injuries, the players who were injured. Like, there's a healthy list there, but I think the list of it is your fault is longer and more important when it comes to winning a football game. Like, even when you have no McCaffrey, you had no Debo, you had no George against the Rams, right? Okay, so
they had no Puka, no Cooper.
And they had no Puka, no Cooper.
Right.
And then you watch the game and you're like, my God, the Niners are way better. When you watch that game, just close your eyes or remove the scoreboard from actually, you could even keep the scoreboard on there for the majority of the game. The Niners looked way better. And then all of a sudden, there's a jailbreak and a list of things that happen, and you lose the game, and those are the 49ers' fault. Those are the 49ers' fault. So I look back on it, and I still shake my head that the 49ers are where they are. But I also think in the land of fandom, where you fight till the end, and you hope until the end, and you hope against hope, and you think to yourself, hey, maybe my team, you've watched me do it each year with the Giants. You watched Goo do it with the Giants last year. The math still works.
Yep.
When you're sitting there trying to convince yourself that you're still in it, even when you're not in it. You know what I mean? This particular 49er team, I think that this hope against hope that we're doing is more realistic than other hope against hope situations.
So you're willing to say that the math still works?
I am willing to say that the math still works, but I'm not even thinking about it in terms of math. I'm just thinking about it in terms of, I believe that the San Francisco 49ers are one of the seven best teams in the NFC.
They're probably one of the seven best teams in football.
And if that evens out in the end, they still can do this. I don't think it's crazy to think that they start winning some of these games down the stretch. It's not like they should be overwhelmed Thursday night. It's not like they should be overwhelmed the following Sunday in Miami. We'll talk about Detroit when we get there, if and when the Niners happen to be 8-7 at that time. They might be overwhelmed in that one. We'll see. We'll see where we're at when the time comes. But I just, like, even though I admit this kind of a team, remember when we asked Matt Barrows, came on, and I'm like, the premise that we're all looking at, a 5-game win streak, that sounds silly to you? And he was like, yeah, kind of does. And I get it. But now one of those 5 wins has happened, and it was in a dominant fashion. And while I still find that to be totally unlikely, I don't know, man. If somebody's going to do a turnabout, this is the team. That's what I think.
Yes, it could be the team, but I look at what you're facing, and you're facing a Ram team healthier than they were on a short week at home. You're going to have to travel to Miami, a team that's going to be playing for their playoff lives, a team that's playing better than they were earlier in the year. You're going to have to take on a couple of divisional opponents and face a Detroit team chasing a 1 seed and a Detroit team that nobody really has had an answer for. So on the surface, yeah, the Niners could be a team. All the numbers, the EPA, the DVOA, the advanced metrics, the yards, whatever, their record should be better, all the rest of it. That all leads you to think that they could do it. And I'm with you, but I look at the slate of games that you're going to have to face.
Slate.
Short week with the Rams, Miami, and you got the Lions still looming.
Oh, it's going to be incredibly hard.
Really hard.
Yeah, and probably not going to happen. I'm not myopic enough to say otherwise.